warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
As you have been warned, and rightfully so, this is the Catholic Man Show. I am Adam Minahan, back from a one-week hiatus, here with David Niles. I want to thank Dave and Father Danny Grover. Last week was an awesome episode. There was something like missing.
I don't know, dude. A lot of people were saying that it was maybe the best episode ever.
Ever. Yeah, Juan posted in the Council of Man, like, it'd be nice to have Adam not on there more frequently or something like that. And it's like, listen, man, I'm just trying to help with your purgation process. And if you want to spend more time in purgatory, that's on you, not me.
Can't blame
me.
Go ahead.
So anyway, I do want to thank Father Danny. Father Danny is a great friend of ours, and he did a great job hanging out with you and recording the show.
It was a lot. It was too bad you weren't here, because it really was a good conversation on a good topic. You know, Father Danny's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew DeJoseph was asking if it was the first time you have not been there. And I reminded him that no, actually, like maybe in the first 10 episodes or
14,
so.
14, I think.
Oh, you went and looked? Okay, yeah. So
It was very early.
It's like the first summer.
Mm-hmm.
You had to go, and so I did it with Harrison Garlick, and that was the episode that we had Lafroig for the first time. It was the quarter cast.
That's right.
And I like had forgotten about that man, you weren't even here for the first Lafroig, because at the time we both, when we first started this show, if you had asked us if we like Lafroig, we would have said no. And then we tried it again, and I remember telling you, like, hey, I had Lafroig on the show, and it's not nearly as terrible as I thought it was.
Yeah, because we were just starting to embrace the peat.
Yeah. Totally.
Of scotch.
We had Bunahabin, the Toitich.
Mm-hmm.
However you say it.
That's good enough.
In English, it would be Toitich.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you say it in Gaelic. But anyway, that one's very... I almost said hoppy. It's very peaty. Mm-hmm. As well.
Yeah, the reason why you said hoppy is because recently, outside of last week, we've been doing a lot of beers.
Yeah, which is okay too.
Which is great. A lot of listeners have been sending us beers to try, and we actually still have 3 or 4 different beers to try over the next couple weeks that people have sent. Philip Hayden has sent us some. Rick Rags from Wichita sent us some as well. Gave us some.
Yeah, we do still have a lot. You're right.
So we still have some, but... I was just, before we started, I said, Dave, I know we still have beers to try, but I need a scotch.
Yeah.
It has been a long time since I've had a scotch, and I just felt this is a time we need a scotch.
You just need it.
Yes. And next week is our 100th episode. We've almost been doing this for 2 years, Dave.
I know.
Can you believe that?
We have a very special... We'll save it.
Yeah,
I
don't want to ruin anything.
No spoilers, but we have a very, very special man beverage next
week. We're going to go all out next week.
Indeed.
Not that we don't go all out every week.
Indeed.
But next week will be very fun, because it'll be a 100th episode.
Indeed.
Anyway, let's get into this beverage, and then we can talk about kind of this week, because this has been a crazy week for both of us.
Sure. Indeed. Indeed.
Please stop saying indeed.
Okay.
if this is your first time listening, you can go back and listen. This is what we do in the first episode or first segment.
Open, review, and enjoy a man beverage.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
So today we're drinking Ardbeg Kelpie from... St. Stephen Hool, a Council of Man member, a friend of ours. He was at the camp out that we did last year. By the way, this year we are doing a camp out October 18th, 19th-ish. So if you, and we're going to be doing it at Clear Creek Abbey again.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are...
Bigger and better.
It is going to be bigger. Let me tell you, last week, the last year's was awesome.
Oh
my
gosh.
It was just phenomenal. Anyway, we will be doing that. So St. Stephen sent this to us. He sent us in a little vial. It's the Ardbeg Kelpie. From Ardbeg, it's a Islay Scotch. If you look on a, like the map of Scotland, you will see that Lagavulin, Lefroig, and Ardbeg are all within, I believe, a 15-mile linear mile.
Yeah, right there on the coast.
Of each other. So, anyway, what was your thoughts on the nose? You've already tried it, so...
Oh, well, the nose... It's, what is that smell?
It's almost a sweet toffee.
Could, yeah? Yeah, there's
toffee
in there.
It is almost like a toffee sweetness to it.
But I know, I like... I can... This happens to me a lot where I say, ooh, I've smelled that before, but I can't remember what it is. Does that ever happen to you?
Yes.
But man, if you look on the bottle of this, it's got seaweed on it.
Hmm, that is very interesting.
And
so
when I tried it, I said, yeah, there's totally seaweed in there.
So the taste for me is a very, it has toffee, almost some dark chocolate in it. The palate would be, I would say toffee, dark chocolate, a little bit of seaweed, like you were saying. The finish is extremely long. In fact, it's still going for me.
Yeah,
it is an almost. True. It is an extremely long finish.
It's very so smoky. Very. This is very unique. This is not like many other whiskeys I've had. Ardbeg is, you know, they're kind of good at that. They're Kori Frecken. Is also a very unique whiskey.
One of the most unique whiskeys I think I've tried.
This is also one of the most unique I've tried. Like, it doesn't... It has... There's
the
flavor.
Ending is a little bit of tar.
There's flavor in here that isn't in other whiskeys.
Yeah, it's a very interesting whiskey. I hesitate to say that it's complex, because I don't feel like there's a lot of things hitting me from different angles. However, I do feel like that... I get a little bit of sweetness, some of the bitter dark chocolate. I get a little bit of the toffee, the buttery toffee taste. And then at the end, I get this long, drawn-out finish that has a little bit of smoke, a little bit of peat, a little bit of pepper, and then a little bit of tar. That's what I would say. That's my notes. There you go. There's my notes.
The finish is my favorite part of this one.
Okay.
I mean, I like a long finish. Well, no, not just because it's long, but there's flavors that set in just in the finish.
Kind of camp out for a little bit?
Yeah, well, they're not there, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, hello.
I like it. Dave,
I do too. I'll say, I don't think this is my favorite whiskey.
No.
But it's very interesting to try.
Ardbeg always gives some whiskeys for me that I wouldn't say I want always a glass of this, but one that every time I have one, I'm like, I'm glad I had it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel about Ardbeg.
Kori Frecken, I would totally...
And the
I would keep
Ugadal?
That.
Remember the Ugadal?
Yeah, that one I agree with. Very interesting to try.
Mm-hmm. Is that how you pronounce it, Ugadal?
I have no idea.
This is close enough. You know what I meant.
I know what you mean.
Dave, we've had some busy weeks. You just got back from a weekend of a marriage encounter weekend. Why don't you tell...
Engaged encounter
engaged
weekend.
Engaged encounter. Why don't you tell
okay,
us?
Okay, so Pamela and I were asked to be some of the... We're getting a new pre-Cana program going here, so the family life director asked she and I to be some of the teaching couples.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to an engaged encounter weekend as an observer. But it was funny because Pamela's really pregnant right now, and so we were walking into the engaged encounter and... I was joking or like rubbing her belly, like, yeah, we're here for the engaged encounter. This is my very pregnant wife. I mean, fiance.
So you were trying to create scandal.
Only for the dude at the table doing registration.
Okay.
He saw right through it.
Yeah.
He goes, are you one of my observing couples? And I was like, yeah.
Busted.
You didn't even let my joke land. But it was a really good weekend. I met Father Drew Hyman of... Wichita Diocese, just stellar priest. He reminds me a lot of Father Kerry Wakulich. He's like ADD, like that, very high energy. He at one point he also Derek Lissy and Whitney, his wife, they were also observing with us, and they brought their 4 month old. At one point, Father Drew said, "I need to wear that baby carrier," and he strapped on this baby and was like up in front of the class. Or the teaching. Class. Yeah, like, you know, talking about whatever it was, and he's just got this baby on. It was just so fun. He's in a full cassock.
With a baby on him.
Yeah, it's like black cassock, and the baby carrier was all black.
So what is the weekend for?
It's for engaged couples who are, you know, preparing for marriage. It's a pre-Canaan program to help them encounter, make sure you've had these conversations, make sure that you've discerned, you know, like, what are you going to do about money? What are you going to do about this? How do you guys, you know, have you talked about this?
Okay.
Just to make sure that you really are on the same page. A lot of people get married and then they think, we agree on everything.
Right. And then they have the conversations later and realize maybe we don't.
And then they get married and it's like, you're not a morning person?
Right.
Like,
right.
What? It's like, and then like, you're totally disillusioned and you think, like, I don't even know how we got married.
Right.
We don't agree on anything. So a good pre-Cana program can reduce the divorce rate by up to 30%.
Well worth going.
Yeah.
If you're a man thinking about getting engaged, strongly recommended. The priesthood is like a 7-8 year discernment process, so it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
When we get back, we'll jump into the man gear. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. We are in studio today. We were just talking right before the break about how I was at the Engaged Encounter weekend observing. It really was a good weekend. For me, I had a lot of reflection time. I was reflecting on thankfulness. It kept coming up about how I have a lot to be thankful for, especially sitting there next to my beautiful wife who is like, they were talking about all these issues, and it's just like, man, Pamela is the best at this, or she does this, you know, she never has that. She never does that thing, you know, wrong, or, she never, that issue just isn't an issue with us because
she takes on that very appropriately.
Well, and she just never assumes, she never jumps to conclusions, you know, like about me. She always like assumes the best side of what things could be for me, and
just, she does that with everybody though.
She does.
Not just
so anyway,
you.
I was just very thankful. We've been very blessed on the show lately to have a couple phenomenal priests, Father Sean O'Brien, Father Danny. Mm-hmm. So it's just I can
boy,
tell
Father Brian O'Brien now in Stillwater.
Yeah. He in fact this last weekend was their
dedication mass.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, No, not Bon Voyage. What do you call it? The Maiden Voyage. Maiden Mass.
Yes.
Hey, that's kind of an interesting play on words. Like, Mary is a maiden. She's a maiden because she was a virgin, right? Doesn't maiden, is there something? There might be something there. If there, that could maybe be good. It also could be bad.
Yes. We're drinking Ardbeg Kelpie. I'm transitioning.
Thank you. What took you so long?
Yeah. I'm drinking mine out of actually a whiskey cast Glencairn glass.
I noticed that. I wasn't going to say anything, but it probably doesn't taste quite as good.
Mark Gillespie is a guy who started Whiskey Cast. If you are a whiskey connoisseur, it's a good podcast to check out. We actually interviewed him. You can go back and check that out as well.
You know what we need to break in on the show is our Sacred Heart of Jesus, Immaculate Heart of Mary
Glencairn glasses. From the Phoenix guys.
Yeah,
exactly. That is true.
And they didn't laser. Those aren't laser etched, acid etched.
Yes.
Also with acid.
Correct.
Also pretty manly.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what occurred to me? I was shaving this weekend. This is just totally random.
Okay.
I think you'll enjoy it. Shaving is essentially like a close encounter with death every single morning.
Well, you're one sneeze away.
I mean, it's like, let's find...
You're one sneeze away from like really doing some damage.
I mean, just the whole premise. Let's find the sharpest knife we can. I mean, absolutely the sharpest knives they make. And let's scrape them across your face. Just let's just... And then on your neck, let's just drag it right down your carotid artery the whole way. Oh, okay, you survived that side. Well, you got another one on the other. You know, it's just like the whole...
This is the kind of quality programming that you get from the Catholic Man Show.
Shaving is just like, what a crazy idea. No wonder men do it. Like,
dude, so this week has been crazy for me as well. As you...
Do tell.
So
you've been recovering.
Yes.
You're still not 100%
recovered. I'm not 100%. My voice probably sounds a little iffy, a little nasally. But right after the men's conference with Patrick Coffin, you know, we introduced Patrick Coffin. We were up on stage. There's about 1,000 men there. We were up on stage. We introduced him. I walk off. I'm not even joking. 10 minutes after we walk off stage, I completely lose my voice.
That was weird.
Completely lose my voice. And I was sick for a while. My grandfather passed away, as you mentioned last episode. It was a very trying time for us. It was actually the first real like encounter with death for our family.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been very blessed with great health and family members around. So that was also very interesting. I had to also read the first reading and responsorial psalm for the funeral mass, which was very difficult because I'm a guy. I'm good at public speaking. But I'm not good at public reading. My mind just goes crazy when reading. I think about weird things as I'm reading, and so I'm not a very good public reader.
Yeah, you need to like, calm thyself.
Right. And so I knew walking up, uh-oh, I'm getting that feeling of I'm going to cry. Mm-hmm. You know, that heaviness under your eyes, that kind
for
of
me,
throat.
The first thing is the throat.
The throat,
The throat is what gets me first.
And kind of almost the stomach feeling.
Kind of hard to swallow.
Like, I know that I'm going to cry. So I knew I had Wisdom chapter 3, verse 1 through 9, plus the responsorial psalm. I get through the first four verses, and I realize, this isn't going well. I don't want to sit here and be, you know, just cry the whole time. And so I cut it off after five verses, and I say, the word of the Lord. And then I step back, take a breather. And I choke through the responsorial psalm to get past
it. Just going to go ahead and make up my own reading.
Yeah, I knew that if I continue. Anyway, it was tough. But it was...
You could have improvised something.
I could have. But we just had an episode on the liturgy and not improvising on our, you know, on the liturgy. Anyway. So it was kind of a tough week. Yeah, it was a tough week for the Minahan house with being sick. We had a lot of things going on with my house. I'm leaving, when this airs, I'm actually going to be in the land of tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in China. So I had a lot of things going on there as well. Anyway, so it was just a crazy week. So anyway, that kind of leads into the man gear though. Because I had traveling on my mind, going to China this week. And so I thought that the man gear would be a traveling bag. And not a satchel. I'm not talking about a man purse. Okay, I just want to clear the air.
Immerse.
I want to clear the air on this. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the utility purposes of having a travel bag and what that looks like and what that is.
Yeah.
For me, let me ask you: Are you more of a backpack guy or a rolling guy?
That's hard for me to answer because I'm both. Whenever I use a backpack, I also have a suitcase, like if I'm flying somewhere, you know, I want to carry on as much as I can. And so I have a suitcase that I can fit a lot in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could fit 2 weeks of.
Would you rather prefer just one big open area to put all your stuff or compartmentalize everything?
Because
there's some bags.
Depends.
There's some bags that are very specific. Like they have like little areas.
I think I like one big open area where I can create my own compartments.
That's,
you know, it's like my pants are over here, my socks and underwear over here.
Right. Shoes go over this way.
Right, exactly. I can fit them this, you know.
Toiletries in between.
Let me create the spaces.
Okay.
I think that's what I like. You know what? I do have an American Tourist bag. American Tourist is a brand, and mm-hmm. it is a sweet bag. It's a like what I would call a weekend bag.
Okay.
But it is just amazing.
Is it a weekend bag different than a duffel bag?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Duffel is too small?
I'll post a picture. A duffel is just a bag. It's just a big bag. You know, like...
It's just like a gym, almost like a gym bag
it's
as
like,
well.
It's like a tube with a zipper on it. That's right. A duffel bag. Okay. This bag does have pockets and like... It's very like... Like, you know, an army bag is just like sweet pockets everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It has just the right pockets in just the right places.
Okay.
Maybe we could even write a song about that. But I'll post a picture of it just because it is a really good bag. If you go somewhere, if you do weekend trips, this kind of bag, it has done me wonders. I'll tell you that.
Okay. I travel quite a bit with my job. I travel kind of across the U.S. and into Mexico and... every couple of years or year or so I go into China, and I'm a big fan of making sure to have a backpack that can house almost everything that you need.
Oh yeah, like a double bag,
double slots.
A double backpack kind of thing.
Because
that's what I have too.
Because you keep the more I can have my hands free in the airport, the better.
Yeah.
So. I'm going to be going for a week over in China, and all I'm going to be taking is my backpack and one rolling bag that I'm going to carry on. I'm not checking on any bags. I'm a big fan of being able to walk off the airplane and on with my life without waiting for the baggage claim.
I mean, it just goes wrong. So I'm always impressed how often luggage gets lost.
Let me ask you this. If you do take a bag and put it on baggage claim, are you a fan of making sure to mark your bag? Like, is there something that you mark your bag with? Because everybody has basically like a black luggage. Do you mark your bag at all?
I never have.
Or are you a fan? Let me ask you. Are the like flamboyant, crazy
no
patterns?
I enjoy seeing other people with those. But like, hey,
are you using that for profile purposes?
Look at that. That's pretty weird. But I'm not gonna walk around with that thing.
Yeah.
You know what else I don't like? I've just got to get this off my mind. I've got to get this off my chest.
Okay.
I don't like the four-wheeled suitcases these days. You know, like where you don't drag it behind you. You just kind of like walk next to it. It looks like people are just prancing around with their suitcases. Like, oh, look at me. I'm so hoity-toity with my suitcase. And like, I'm okay with the dragging it behind you.
Mm-hmm.
But the walking next to a thing, it looks sissy. You look like a sissy man when you do that. So you know what I do? I don't do it. I drag it.
You just drag it.
It has four wheels. I don't know what those other two wheels are for, okay? Because I'm a man. And when I can, I just straight up carry the bag.
Okay.
Just today, I was walking from the room to the car with the suitcase. I just carried it because I'm a man. I'm physically
capable.
Able to do so easily. I'm not going to drag it, okay?
Fair enough.
I have muscles of immense proportion because of my manliness.
Seems like that you've been like having a word of the day that's been emailed to you, and immense was the word of the day. Seems like you really forced immense.
No. False.
When we get back, we're going to jump into the topic, which is one of the four marks of the church. Did you see what I did there? One of the four marks of the church.
Gotcha.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Today we have been drinking Ardbeg Kelpie, brought to you by St. Stephen Hool. Why don't you give him a toast?
St. Stephen!
And please make sure to bring his death.
I was just considering, like, maybe I'll toast to his birth. And I was trying to think of, like, how can I do that?
Never mind, let's go to his death.
St. Stephen, it was a pleasure to meet you finally in the flesh over the camp out. You have been our biggest man beverage supporter. I'm shooting from the hip there, but I'm pretty sure you've got that one nailed down by a long shot. Thank you so much for this beverage. You are a true man of generosity. May it be a trait found in all your offspring, and may they all live to a ripe old age. Cheers to St. Stephen.
St. Stephen.
I'm trying to, like, branch out. Like, all my toasts have ended up, like, kind of being the same.
Well, recently you have been in, like, including offspring quite a bit.
Have I?
Yes.
I do not recall that.
Yes, last week you did.
What did I say?
The children's children and the children's children's children.
Oh, that one's pretty good then.
Anyway.
I think, like, you know, toasting and offspring, I feel like there's a really strong connection there.
Okay, fair enough.
You sort of like the, it's like a very Old Testament covenant.
May your offspring be as numerous as the stars. Right, may this cheers be as numerous as the stars.
Right, exactly.
Okay, fair enough.
They have more children than Abraham himself.
That would be unbiblical.
Could happen.
I guess physical children. Maybe you're talking about physical children.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Well, not physical. I mean, like,
not or, spiritual.
Or, like, family tree.
That'd be very tough.
Well, sure, because Abraham is going to be still up there.
Up there, yeah.
He's like, we all, you know what I've thought about? We all consider ourselves fathers of Abraham, but, like, what about Noah? Like, he's a couple generations closer to us, and everybody else got wiped out. So he's, like, also kind of definitely the father of us all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of us.
Hmm.
That's not possible, though. Or wait, was Noah before Abraham? That's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed.
I'm gonna save you. I'm gonna save you, man. I'm gonna save you. Our topic today.
You don't know the answer, though. Which one was first, Noah or Abraham?
I don't know the answer.
I think it was Abraham.
I feel like it was Abraham, but yeah. I don't know that for sure.
But, you know, like, there's the whole, like, myth that his...
Dude, I was trying to save you.
His and you're, son, hate or his... You know, he had that son with the his wife's servant.
Mm-hmm.
And the like, kind of the tradition that that son went on to found the Islam. What about the flood? How come he didn't get wiped out in that? Remember the whole flood? There was the flood with all the water and the raining.
Not recall.
And the boat. There was the boat.
I don't recall any of this.
And the animals and the flood.
None of this makes connecting.
They made a movie.
The rock people.
Right, with the rock angels.
Okay. Now it's connecting.
Yeah, from that book called The Bible, collection of books.
Okay. Anyway, our topic today, boy, that was brutal. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Our topic today, we're going to talk about, there's the marks of the church, which is, there's four marks.
So I know there's Mark from the gospel. There's the other three marks? There's three more marks?
Three more marks, yes. It's his descendants. See how the circle.
Matthew. So there's circle. Matthew, Mark, Marky Mark, Luke Mark, and John Mark.
Correct.
People forget that their middle name. That their middle name is.
This is
all
not
Mark.
Correct. What we're going to talk about today. There's four marks of the Catholic Church. It's one holy Catholic and apostolic church.
One
holy Catholic apostolic
and apostolic. Those are the four marks of the church.
Those are the four marks of the church,
which are found in the Nicene Constantinopolitan Creed.
Correct. Otherwise known as the Nicene Creed.
Yeah.
You can also check out the Catechism because it has a lot about this. But specifically, I think we're going to talk about the first mark of the church.
One. I'm glad they put that one first.
It would be weird if it was third.
Yeah.
That'd be a very weird thing.
What's number three? One.
One. So I'll read this really, really fast from the Catechism. 811. 8111. No, 811, not 8111. Now that you guys are confused. This is the sole church of Christ, which in the creed we profess to be one holy Catholic and apostolic. These four characteristics inseparably linked with each other indicate the essential features of the church and her mission. The church does not possess them of herself. It is Christ who, through the Holy Spirit, makes his church one holy Catholic and apostolic, and it is he who calls her to realize each of these qualities.
So it's really, I think the one important thing to keep in mind is that the four marks of the church are really about the body of Christ. you know, if you want to get really down to it, why is the church one? Because the body of Christ is one. Why is it holy? It's because we're the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is holy. You know, it always comes back to, because Christ is these things.
Christ is the head of the church.
Right, right, exactly. And we are his body, and so we participate in that unity, which is why the church is holy.
Correct.
If Christ didn't stand at its head, then it wouldn't be holy.
Or it wouldn't exist.
You know, it could exist.
Not as the church.
No, yeah, right. It wouldn't be the church, but, I mean, it could be an institution still.
Sure, sure, sure.
I mean, the church could be here, but...
So I think that with the time remaining we have before this break, we'll lay down the kind of the foundation of this, and then in the next segment, we'll talk about the domestic... in the relationship of the domestic church, which would be the family.
Okay.
I think we should start out with Ignatius, St. Ignatius. David Bates would love this, being... Like, David Bates is all about... You know, the early church fathers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He, in fact, I think the only thing that he talks about is the early church fathers and C.S. Lewis. I think those are the only, like, he takes a huge jump from early church fathers to C.S. Lewis.
I think he talks about J.R.R. Tolkien as well.
Yes, a little bit.
He's British, dude. He knows,
Right.
He knows literature.
How was that? I want you to say that one more time, please.
I'm not going to do it.
Please, I want you to.
Just didn't work out quite as well as I hoped.
He is going to be shaking his head. He has a podcast called The Eagle and Child.
Here in America, we call them books. All right? Okay. We say books.
So Ignatius is the first to bear witness in this distinct hierarchical structure of the church.
I also have a problem with that word.
Hierarchical?
Hierarchical.
It just structure
takes
of the church.
A lot of energy to say.
He talks about the existence of the bishops and priests and deacons and the laity, and he talks about it in the sense that it is already established and understood by the church itself.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm having to explain this to you, but yet that this is the understanding that everybody always agrees.
Yeah, when you read his writing, he writes as if, like, everybody already knows this.
Correct.
Yeah.
And he is a... Early church father. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's from the apostles. He's learned from the apostles.
Correct.
So he says something that was very interesting. He says, "Unity is the church's supreme present expression as well as her definitive goal." And I think that's very. He always links this back to the Eucharistic liturgy, which I think is very. I mean,
well, he's a super Eucharistic guy. Like even on his way to be martyred, he was writing letters. Talking about, like, to the church in Rome, don't save me. Don't try to stop me from being...
He wrote that before he even went, knowing that it was going to happen.
Well, on his way, he wrote another letter to Rome specifically saying do not save me. I want to be... It's like all this bread analogies. Like, I want to be ground into flour. You know, like, I want to be the wheat for God. And, he just keeps talking about bread over and over and over again. And he's clearly making allusion to the Eucharist, which is, like, when you read it and he... In the context of him speaking about his death, it's just very beautiful.
Right. I mean, he...
Sacrificial.
And he echoes in one of those letters, because he wrote seven letters, one of which is what you're talking about.
Correct.
To Rome. And in another one, he echoes what St. Paul is talking about, and he says that Christians are the one, is a new man in Christ. And since they are united in faith, they become one altogether. Mm-hmm. The ultimate and the greatest effect of faith is that we're all a part of Jesus and the Father.
Right.
And so I think that he talks a whole lot about how the unity is one of the utmost gifts that Jesus gave us, because the gift of himself is like the relationship of the divine intimacy of the Trinity, which is in communion. So when we're talking about the oneness, we're talking about being in communion all together.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that basically the oneness is one of the most important aspects. In fact, he talks about if you attack the other three, you're essentially attacking the one as well.
Yeah, I think that's interesting that it's difficult to really separate the four marks of the church.
It's almost like the Trinity. It's like they're all distinct, yet they're all in unison.
Because it's like a circle.
Because
it's a circle.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, that's true. If you can't take out one and have the others.
Right.
If you lose one, you lose all the other ones as well.
Right.
Which he kind of talks about.
Yeah, because the Eucharist obviously is supremely embodies and so it's the what did it say? It's the it's the summit of the Christian life,
right? Yeah, and it's the expression of that one holy and apostolic,
right? So
you know, like the embodiment of all those things.
It is the embodiment of all of them. You attack one of the layers, it attacks the oneness. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's interesting that in today's world, oneness seems to be where we're fractured, maybe possibly the most.
I would agree.
Actually, apostolic maybe more, because it's like thousands and thousands and thousands.
I think oneness.
Ultimately.
Yeah.
So when we get back, we'll continue this. We'll talk about the domestic church. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers to St. Stephen and all Council of Man members.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Here with Adam Minahan, we're talking about the four marks of the church.
Specifically, the oneness.
Yeah, we're focusing on oneness because the four marks are, once again, one, holy, and apostolic.
Catholic and apostolic.
Catholic and apostolic. Thank you.
You said four, and then you gave three.
You're right. As Patrick Coffin says, there's three types of people in this world, those who can count and those who can't. Mm-hmm. We were talking about what is maybe the most missing. I still think oneness. Like the Protestant churches, you know, have just been divided into oblivion, essentially.
Right.
But they all still care about, you know, having that apostolic link. You know, why is the, you know, they would say, mm-hmm. well, why are the books of the Bible trustworthy? Because they were written by the apostles. You know, they still kind of maintain that.
They see the importance in it,
right?
Of
it. The value of having it be apostolic.
Mm-hmm. Shout out, by the way, to Brian Bartlett, who is a Lutheran of the Council of Man member. He's not even Catholic, but he's a Council of Man member. He's an awesome dude. I'm really glad. If you are a non-Catholic, we would love to have you on the Council of Man.
Totally. Yeah. So speaking of, really quick, if you really like the show and you want to support what we do here on The Catholic Man Show, you can go to thecatholicmanshow.com and you can sign up to join the Council of Man by supporting us by giving us $10 a month. We will immediately, as a thank you gift, send you one of our laser-etched Catholic Man Show Glencairn glasses. Mm-hmm. Have a logo on them, dishwasher safe.
Yes.
Because it's awesome. And then you'll be also included into our private Facebook page where all things manly happen on the internet. You'll get access to all the private content that we produce.
And you're welcome.
I did that pretty fast.
You did. St. Ignatius also said that, you know, where the bishop is, so is the Catholic Church. And so he understood, you know, the bishop and the priest and the laity is part of the Catholic Church. And, you know, obviously the supreme bishop, Christ, the head of the church, mm-hmm. that you're supposed to support your bishop. Now, I understand that there's some people who struggle with the support of their bishop, but I strongly encourage you to support your bishop in every way possible, because as Christ said to Saint Faustina in her diary, that obedience is extremely important.
Right, right. And obedience, I agree that there are bishops out there that I would really struggle to give allegiance and obedience to, because a lot of them, I believe, are... I hesitate to use the word heretical because right. that's just such a loaded term, but they're not teaching things that are really in accord with the church.
Right.
They are going against church teaching, but you still, as a member of that diocese, owe them allegiance
and respect
for their office.
And the respect of Christ, who's the head.
And obedience to them, you know, in as far as it doesn't,
and I also, like, there's
doesn't
a lot of,
cause scandal.
There's a lot of phenomenal bishops. If you're in a diocese that has a fantastic bishop, I strongly encourage you to write the diocese, write the chancellery, and thank the bishop for all of his hard work.
Yeah. What gets me the most is when priests don't care what their bishop says, who, you know, they have a good bishop, and it's like, yeah, I don't care if the bishop tells me to do that. I'm not doing that.
I don't.
I've heard Chicago has a problem with this.
Okay.
Like,
I don't know it. I don't know.
One of the guys who works for the diocese is from Chicago.
That's tough.
That's just what I've heard.
That's tough. So I think that it just goes back to the support, affirming the things that are good, standing up for the truth. That's important.
Right.
So let's talk about really quick, because we're talking about the whole church. Let's talk about the domestic church. Why is it important as a Catholic man to understand one Holy Catholic and Apostolic? As I was reading an article about the four marks of the church, I kept coming back to the domestic church. When I was reading it, I kept coming back and I was thinking about, what does that mean for the domestic church? What does it mean for as a man?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that...
I think it's a good question.
I think that in understanding the oneness, I think still you can apply all four marks of the church to the domestic church and still say that the oneness is the most important. Let's dissect this for just a minute. Let's talk about holy. Because if we're focusing on oneness, let's talk about holy for the domestic church. If you take into the consideration that prayer and going to Mass on Sundays and observing the holy days of obligation and taking your family to confession on a monthly basis and making sure that you're living the liturgical life with even outside of the church, but into your home. If you're not doing all these things, it is attack not only on the church itself, but also your domestic, it causes a disunity of your family.
Mm-hmm.
Example, there's a lot of churches out there that try to promote bringing the kids to church. Like they have these jungle gyms and they have all these things. And what ends up happening, it ends up being a daycare. Or they say, let's try to bring all the women into the church. You know, let's try to gear everything towards the women of the church. Well, what ends up happening is the women bring the children, and the dad goes off and plays golf or does whatever, watches ESPN or whatever he does. And I think that the importance is making sure that you focus on the men of the church, because if you do, statistics show that the family stays together.
Mm-hmm.
So
religiously.
So yeah. I think that if you attack the holiness of the church or the holiness of the domestic church, you're attacking the unity of the domestic church.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. It's not a one-to-one parallel here. You know, like I was trying to think, in what way is the family apostolic?
I can tell you. You ready?
Yeah.
You want to do it?
Sure.
Apostolic really is all about authority.
Sure.
Being apostolic is all about authority. This is Christ gave the authority to the apostles, which thus gave it to its successors.
Mm-hmm.
You see a lot of disunity in families when the wife and the husband are at arms, are constantly battling
at odds with each other,
and not in unity.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have, let's just say, the kids are undermining the parents' authority, and they're doing stuff that the parents are saying not to do.
Yeah.
What does that do? That breaks up the family. That causes disunity.
Okay, well then that's a good example of how the four marks are so integrally linked.
Mm-hmm.
That if when the authority of the family has been lost, so has the oneness
mm-hmm.
of the family been lost.
And if we're talking about Catholic. Another mark of the church, one holy Catholic and apostolic.
In the creed, Catholic means universal. It doesn't mean like the denomination Catholic.
Right. So it means worldwide. Let's look at that in a domestic sense. And I think that you can have issues with that in the aspect of slander or gossip. Because what happens when you slander or gossip a family member? And I'll be honest, like there's times where it's very easy to do this, not just with your immediate family, but distant family. Cause you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family.
Yeah.
There's times where some of your distant relatives are, it's like, did you see what Uncle so-and-so did? Uncle Tom did,
Or Sooner fans.
Or Sooner. Yeah. Did you see how, they were cheering for OU?
Like,
anyway, I mean, you can see how you can easily slander or gossip. It's easy to pick on faults of others.
Sure.
Especially when you don't see them very often. You only see them like maybe Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving. So those faults stand out.
There's also the universal, like, not from a worldwide standpoint, but just from, like, universal being it affects every aspect of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and that's true with the family, is that having a family, being in a family, affects every aspect of your life. You know, your one of your family members starts playing soccer. Now, all of a sudden on Saturdays, you're going to soccer games
because
you have a little brother who plays soccer. Right. You know, it just every day of the week, every hour of the day, the fact that you're part of this family affects how those days and hours go by.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I do want to drive home, though. I think that one of the biggest faults that I've seen with families is the slander and gossip aspect of families, because I think it's outside the immediate family, it's easier to do with the extended family. And you have to remember that all that is doing is just causing disunity.
Yeah. Also, I think electronic devices, you know, like kids having phones, kids having personal devices, tablets, whatever. I heard someone say, oh, it's tech-gether time, because they're all sitting on the couch on their phones. You know, it's like, we're having tech-gether time. It's like,
that's not,
it's like, I'll slap you if you say that to me again.
You mean waste of time?
Well, it's like, you're not being together.
Right.
You might as well be across the planet from each other, because you're not being, like, that. It just drives me crazy that kids and parents, they'll all be, you know, it's like, you're all here together. Be with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you ignoring one another? Just get rid of, your kids should not have a phone. I don't care. Like, you need to be a man, and your kids are going to hate it if they don't get a phone. All their friends have a phone, and that's true. All of them have a phone. Your kid will be the only one without a phone. Good. They'll be the only one who's not being, like, mentally destroyed by, you know, their life being part of this phone, where their imagination is being destroyed because they can't think for themselves. I hate it. It's just like a soapbox for me.
Yeah, that was a tangent.
I know.
If there ever was one.
But it destroys the oneness of the family.
It does.
I brought it up. Because, like, now everybody is off themselves. Instead of coming together and learning to deal with one another, learning to be a family, learning to love each other, forgive each other, mm-hmm. you know, like, it used to just be a part of life.
Right.
Now just you, like, have to try to
table.
Do it.
The dinner table was the easy one. Like, let's all have dinner together. Let's talk about the day. Talk about our struggles. How was your day?
Right.
Anyway, thank you.
In heaven, we will all be one.
Yes, the eternal banquet.
Yes.
Thank you, St. Stephen, for the Ardbeg Kelpie. We talked about having a specific luggage for the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.